me about some of the people you, some of the boys you grew up with.
Alan Johnson was lived a couple houses away, and he was about a year older than I was, but we were together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a good golfer, and I played golf with Al.
At the Hotchkiss Court?
Yeah, yeah.
The course.
Yeah, and we skied and skated and played ball. So that kept us busy.
Yeah, it sounds as though you did keep busy.
Yeah, we used to trap a little bit, too, for animals.
What kind of animals were you able to catch then?
Muskrats and coon.
Mm-hmm.
And skunks occasionally, but we didn't like that.
No, I guess not. Tell me, what kind of wildlife was there at that time? Oh. You know, you hear all kinds of stories.
Rabbits,
mm-hmm.
deer, I guess that was about as much as we ever hunted. We didn't hunt deer because that was too much for us when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then we fished a lot, fished through the ice.
On the lake?
On the lake and up on Mount Raggy,
mm-hmm.
and Long Pond.
Mm-hmm.
You know where that is, over by Indian Mountain School.
Yes. What kind of fish were you able to
pickerel.
Fish? Pickerel.
Mostly pickerel, yeah. And there were some good sized fish, especially up on Mount Raggy.
Mm-hmm. Again, pickerel or other fish as well?
Pickerel.
Mm-hmm.
Pickerel.
Who were some of the other boys you remember from when you were growing up?
Well, Al was, we were, well, the Cards.
Cards?
Cards, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They lived over, they was, Mr. Card worked at Hotchkiss School, and their house, they had a house on near the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And Fat and I were very close, and another boy by the name of Charlie Jones. And Fayette was killed in an airplane accident.
I'm sorry, what was his name?
Fayette.
Fayette?
Yeah, Fayette Card.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the old Canaan Airport. There's a concrete house down on the end of that.
Yes.
They hit that.
Mm.
And killed him like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with the fire company at the time in Canaan. It was on a Saturday morning, and the whistle blew. We went up there, and here was poor Fayette.
Mm-hmm. You were a volunteer fireman?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now,
I was volunteering in Lakeville, too, and then when we moved to Canaan, I moved over here. I joined the Canaan Fire Company.
Mm-hmm. This was as a young man or an older man?
Well, I joined the Lakeville Fire Company when I was old enough, and I forget just what that was. And then when I came to Canaan, I was in my 30s when I came to work for the power company.
Mm-hmm.
So I was there until I retired.
Are there any any townspeople you would like me and others to know about, people you remember from your childhood, either grown-ups or other children?
Well, most of those are gone now.
All our
senior class is gone except me.
Oh.
And Bill Kelsey died a few months ago, and he and I were the last two.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then of course all the ball. My ball team, we had a great baseball team. Dick Gurney, who was a professor at Hotchkiss School, graduated from Brown. And when he graduated from Brown, the Detroit Tigers wanted him as
a
catcher. But he was a Rhodes Scholar.
Mm-hmm.
So he studied in England. And when he came back, we were fortunate enough to get him to catch for us. And then Hop Rudd was one of our local fellows, a great athlete. And he pitched for Yale, so we had Hop. And Jim Cutting, who pitched for Princeton, he was with us. And then later, Bill Fowle, who was a coach at Hotchkiss School. play in.
And this was after high school, as a young
player. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, in your 20s, did you have your team? Was it in the 1920s, roughly?
The early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Hobnob Hill was started. Have you ever heard of Hobnob Hill?
No, tell me about Hobnob Hill.
I'm surprised that so few people in the town of Salisbury know about Hobnob Hill. Mr. Fulton was going to Hotchkiss one day to play golf, and he had some guests with him, and they said, "You can't play today." And he said, "Why not?" And he said, "Well, the boys are having a tournament up here." So he said, "Okay, I'll build my own course." And he built one of the most, that had the reputation of being the most beautiful privately owned 18-hole course in the East.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a beautiful course. And everybody played free. He invited everybody at the beginning of the year. And if they wanted to take a guest along with him, you would have to call him and ask permission. But he always let them play. And I worked on it. I helped build it, and I stayed on there for a couple of years until I went to work with a power company.
Taking care of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Where was Hobnob Hill?
Well, you go up Route 41,
mm-hmm.
and you go up there maybe a mile and a half or so, and there's a little drive off the highway for cars to stop. You know where that is?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Well, then, farther up the road, there's a roadway, the driveway goes up the hill.
To the left?
Yes.
As you're going towards Great Barrington?
No, this is off 41.
Yes.
And this road is the driveway that goes up the hill. And that,
yes.
The caddy house was there. And then Mr. Fulton built a house up on top of the hill. But it was cut out of the side of the mountain to the...
Now, is the caddy house, is that the little stone house that's still there?
It's on the right as you go up there. I think Ford lives there.
Mm-hmm. I know just where you mean.
Yeah.
And you say that was an 18-hole golf course?
Yes.
Opened
in 1933.
And how long did it remain a golf course, do you know?
Yes, until... I was going through the Panama Canal when I was in the Navy in 42, and I got a letter that, 43, and I got a letter that Mr. Fulton had died,
mm-hmm.
and that was the end of the golf course.
Mm-hmm. And he built this himself at his own expense?
Own expense, yeah.
And anybody who could play there?
Well, you have to get an invitation, but if you had a friend who would invite you, get permission, they play too.
Mm-hmm.
And it started a lot of people in playing golf,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, golf was expensive and people weren't too flush.
Now, this was the Depression, wasn't it?
Well, yes, and shortly after. I think laborers were getting 35 cents an hour and truck drivers were getting 50 cents an hour. And tractor drivers, and I was fortunate enough to be able to drive tractors.
Mm-hmm. And so wages had gone down a little, because I remember you talking about earning 50 cents a day as a boy working on the Malibu.
No, 50 cents an hour.
50 cents an hour.
Yeah.
Working on the Malibu.
Yeah.
Estate.
So you see, the wages dropped to 35,
right.
And still. There was, you know, not too much work around.
Mm-hmm. How did people get along?
Well, of course, things weren't as expensive in those days either. And but they survived. It was none of this handout stuff that you get. Of course, a lot of the rich people would furnish potatoes and apples and things like that to the town people. They were good. Will Mines was that, and the Parsons. I know they were the ones that would donate things like that.
Well, now, how would they do that? Would they donate them to a church, or would they say, you know, on a certain day at a certain time you can come and they'll be?
No, they were donated to the town.
Mm-hmm.
And And of course, the town people knew who really needed things, and there were a lot of people who were hard up.
Yeah, I can imagine. So when they were donated to the town, where would the food be distributed then? And
I don't know how they did that. But I know for a fact that those things were donated to the town by these people, and of course there are a lot of other wealthy people around that did the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, who were the old families in town at that time?
Well, of course, the mill mines and the Parsons. Abe Martin, who was the head selectman for a long time, and he had a garage there. And Dufour's.
Mm-hmm. Which is still around, I think.
Well, the Dufour garage used to be right across from this Chinese restaurant.
Oh, I see.
And you see, they moved, and they had a little restaurant there. They called it the Hub. And the Hotchkiss boys used to come down there and get their hamburgers and things. Well, they moved that over by the where the Lakefield Journal is, in that area. But and I know there are quite a few people around Salisbury too that donated things.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't think of their names right now. And there was Hall and Borden. They were on the lake. They had those two big houses on the east shore of Lakeville Lake. And they were very generous people.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that you would like me to know about people or big events or buildings or anything else you want to be remembered?
Well, they used to have a boat that ran around Lake.
Oh, really?
It was called the Thelma. And man by the Timmins ran the Grove at that time, and he, I guess it was his boat. So they charged people to take them around Lakeville Lake.
They just do a tour around the lake and then come back to the Grove?
Yeah.
Did the Thelma run on weekends?
I can imagine it probably ran most of the week.
During the summer?
Yeah.
You recall what he charged people to take them on that little tour?
No, but it couldn't have been many cents.
No.
Yeah.
What kind of boat was it?
I don't know, a launch of some kind.
So it was a motorboat?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else you
skating? Want? Skating was a big thing on Lakeville Lake, too.
Mm-hmm.
And used to have cars out there. And
cars on the lake?
Yeah. And you'd hold hands, you know, in the back of a car, and they'd get going pretty long, go along at a pretty good speed, and then they'd turn, and then we'd snap the whip.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of activity on the lake. And they used to fish through the ice on the lake.
I remember you were talking about
that.
Yeah. Well, that implies pretty cold winters.
Well, you know, it doesn't take much ice to hold you up if it's good black ice. You know, when it first freezes, you can look through it and see the... We used to skate around there and look at the bottom, and we could see it through the ice.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, it would get pretty thick, and they'd cut ice there to... Mr. Doty had an ice house, and he used to deliver ice around through the summer, and that ice was taken off the lake. So that was a cause of the work, too, you see, in the wintertime.
Would he deliver by horse and wagon?
I guess so, but they had cars at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They had cars.
So this might be in the 20s?
Yeah, 20s.
Where did he store the ice till the warm weather?
Down on Walton Street, down on the end there. He had an ice house there.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd pack the ice with sawdust.
Yes.
And my father bought that place after he left Mill Mines.
Mm-hmm.
And there was 25 acres there. And so he had a vegetable garden and couple cows and sold milk.
He lived there then?
Yeah.
Was there a house there, or did he build one?
No, there was a house there and a little cottage next to it. And there was another house at the end of the street from where we lived.
Mm-hmm.
And now McHugh has his carpenter place there, and DuForest had this school bus building down there.
Yeah.
And the water company had their works down there. So it was, and then the railroad track ran through there. That's where they wanted to have that bicycle path through there.
No. There used to be an overpass, did there not,
yes,
for the railroad?
Yes, it went, you know where the station is now. That was, yes, the station house. Well, the track ran right by there and right over 44.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went over through that property and into Salisbury.
How often did the trains run?
I don't know. They discontinued them a long time ago, and I don't remember. But I do remember being up there and looking at the engines and things like that.
So they were still running when you were a boy?
Oh, yes. Yeah. In fact, my friend Al, I was telling you about, his father drove a truck at Hotchkiss School, and they'd pick up barrels of fish or something for the schoolboys, and we'd jump on that truck and ride. And sometimes they'd kick us off, but going up the hill by the church, they couldn't go very fast, so we'd jump back on. we had a lot of fun.
Sounds
in those days.
Sounds as though you did. Anything else you want people to remember?
Probably lots of things that we wouldn't want to remember. But the kids weren't in, you know, they never caused any trouble much. You never heard of anybody getting beaten up or something like that anymore. Yeah. Everyone seemed to get along. If you get in a fight, you might get a black eye, but that's all. No knives or guns or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone seemed to get along well. Then they used to have what they call rippers. They were a big, long sled, you know, a lot of people could ride on them. And they'd ride it. There was a road that came down by the firehouse. There used to be a road that went right up through there, to the bank. They used to ride down there on those things. And there was no traffic much in those days, you know, and you didn't have to worry too much about it.
Oh, you mentioned sledding on the main road.
And that trestle that ran across the roadway there by that we were talking about, the trestle wasn't too high, and lots of times big trucks or vehicles like that would hit that thing.
Oh.
And they were carrying ambulances one night, and it knocked one of the ambulances off the truck.
Hmm.
It wasn't too high, but...
Anything else?
Probably there is, but I just can't think now.
Well, you've mentioned a lot of things, and given the History Project a very clear picture of what it was like to grow up in Lakeville during the 20s, early 30s. Thank you very much.
This aviator from California that was so wealthy, you probably know who I mean. He landed at Lake a couple times with a seaplane, and he was going with a girl there in Salisbury.
Oh.
And when we were out in California a few months ago, a couple years ago, and that plane that he built, it was supposed to carry a lot of people. Well, I guess they got it off the water about 4 or 5 feet, and he landed it again. But it was so big, and that was on display out there. We went and saw that,
mm-hmm.
and it had 8 engines on it. And there was a little walkway up to the side. You could walk up there and look. They had a pilot in there, you know. And you look at that thing, and it was tremendous.
Well, now, and you say that landed on Lake Phil?
Not that, no, but he was a pilot, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
I just can't think of his name now, but he was a wealthy man.
I wish I knew who you meant, but I don't.
Mark. Oh, what was that guy, that pilot out in California, was his name Hughes?
Are you thinking about Howard Hughes?
Howard Hughes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He was going out with somebody here in Salisbury?
Yeah, well, she lived up on the mountain. Yeah, well, Hughes was the name.
This is B. Nickerson concluding an interview with William Hallahan on 11/14/96 at his house at 3 Highland Lane, Canaan.